Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 108. My name is John. How do I get the fuck out of this place? How, when I look in the mirror, do I not see my face? Can I turn in my membership card to the human race? 'Cause I gotta let go. What I say in this podcast is not a cry for help. It is not a desperate bid for attention. It is not intended to solicit concern, sympathy, or commentary from anyone. I said from the beginning of this podcast that this is all about me trying to sort things out. I've been chronicling the examination and changes of my ideals and commenting on the socio-political landscape for 9 years. Yeah, that's right. This episode will complete 9 years of monthly rants. It was born out of the malaise following the loss of my job. I've told this story a couple of times before, but I want to do it again. It's my fucking podcast. About a year before this podcast debuted, I worked for a Fortune 500 mega corporation. If you'll recall, way back in 2008 and early 2009, the country was going through some tough economic times. The government put together a plan and was set in motion by the outgoing Bush administration to throw a fuck ton of taxpayer money into the economy to, in their words, save and create jobs. Back then, I was allied with the conservative movement, even though I was never a registered Republican, and even though I didn't care for their stance on many social issues. I did not agree with their economic stimulus plan. After the Obama administration took over, they decided to do a second wave of spending under the guise of the same motivation, to save and create jobs. I still didn't agree with it, but I found it odd, and eventually enlightening, that the Republican and conservative sheep, who so adamantly supported Bush's plan, decried Obama's. And the Democrat and liberal sheep, who were against Bush's plan, supported Obama's. It's almost as if they thought it was a terrible idea unless their side could benefit from it. And that's where I come in. In February of 2009, the mega corporation that I worked for brought us all into meetings and told us the great news. The company originally didn't qualify for any of this government money to save and create jobs, but they told us that they made some changes to one particular branch part of the company, some division based in Colorado or Utah, I forget. So the mega corporation would now qualify for the government stimulus package, horrible name, and get $3 billion in taxpayer money that was intended to save and create jobs. Our CEO was on national news later that week because he had gone to dinner at the White House with the new president. Ooh. $3 billion. To save and create jobs. We're gonna strengthen the company, right? We're gonna protect the employees, right? Over the next 4 months, the mega corporation laid off 11,000 people. Wrap your head around that, folks. 11,000 people. From a company who took $3 billion of your dollars to save jobs. Anybody notice the disconnect? Anybody notice the irony? Now, I'm sure that the people who love, support, and apologize for big government programs will be quick to spin stories of how great it was to have taxpayer money in the economy. I have absolutely no doubt they will vehemently show us their myopic point of view of how good things, and only good things, came from their grandiose schemes. They can tell me all they want about how wonderful it was to have hundreds of billions of tax dollars haphazardly thrown at various corporations, businesses, and entities, and how foolish I am to believe anything bad ever happened. And after they have smugly proclaimed how their heavily spun, edited, and redacted numbers show how brilliant and successful their scheme was, I'll give you 11,000 real examples of what save and create jobs rhetoric really means. My hubris assured me I would quickly turn around and get back into my field in a similar position. Days turned into weeks. Weeks turned into months. I had not realized how much I defined myself by my job until I lost it. I felt like an utter failure. I tried to put up a brave face to my wife while fighting a constant inner battle against fear, self-doubt, and anger, but that woman saw right through me and saw me hurting. See, I had been working at that company for over a decade, and I had been working for a promotion to a particular position, and I'd been passed over 3 times. In mid-2008, I finally got it. 8 months later, I was laid off. I finally ended up going into an entirely different field, starting out as a temp before being hired on a permanent basis after proving myself. I started all over from the bottom. I was shattered. If it wasn't for Gina's love and encouragement, I don't know if I would have made it. Roughly about halfway through that time between jobs, I was at the grocery store one weekday morning. I had my iPod on while walking into the produce section. I was in the middle of an interview from the Dennis Miller Show with Andrew Breitbart and Larry O'Connor. They were talking about their motivation to start their own news website. And one of them, I believe it was Larry, said that they wanted to have a work environment where they could do what they love while being able to cuss and be themselves. I laughed to myself and I thought, I'd love to be able to do that too. And then I thought, why can't I? So I set out to create this podcast as an outlet for my anger and confusion at losing my job from a company that took billions of dollars to save and create jobs. And by this point, I had abandoned the conservative ideology as being inferior, and I certainly wasn't about to go over to the liberal side. The antics of both sides during the economic stimulus fiasco made me realize both sides were grotesquely full of shit. I couldn't stand the clowns to the left or the jokers to the right. I faced the truth that both sides were striving to take away rights they disagreed with. I needed to embrace a philosophy based on freedom, not just for me, not just for the freedoms that I wished to exercise, but for everyone. The more I learned about libertarianism, the more I realized All those people who I used to dismiss as fringe are the ones who have the right idea. The podcast was and is my way of sorting out my thoughts and to better understand and articulate my little view of the world. I have a philosophical dilemma, and I use this podcast to work through it. This is the context in which I tell you these next two stories. It's just me trying to sort things out, sort out my thoughts on a personal dilemma. That's all. Now, some background to the first story. My job has been extra challenging the past, I want to say several months, but it's really been several years. I won't go into great details here, but about 3 years ago, I accepted a position at the company with a specific job description. One that I accepted specifically because I could work tasks I wanted to do and had proven to be well suited for. But just as importantly, the job description would mean I no longer had to perform tasks I was tired of doing. I was burnt out, and I took this position as a means of reinvigorating my career and helping in ways the department requesting the position desperately needed. Literally 10 minutes after I accepted the position, upper management began changing the description and seriously pissed off the department that asked for my help. Then they told me they wanted to transition me to the new position, but they still desperately needed help in the department I was working in at the time. So I was pulled back and forth between my old job and new job, sometimes doing what I agreed to do, but often doing the job I was trying to escape. This lasted for nearly 2 years. Occasionally giving me just enough hope that things would get better before finally settling me into the job I agreed to do. Then, about 2 weeks later, they changed the parameters of my duties again, which brought back all the tasks I was doing under my old job. Near the end of last year, I found out my company would be contracting people to do the tasks that were in the job description I had accepted and then had taken away from me. So I'm stuck in a rut in what is turning into a dead-end job. For the past 5 years, every time it seems like things are finally going to turn around at that job, something else happens, or someone makes a decision and it all falls apart. And I have little hope that that pattern is going to change. Now, there are other annoyances and frustrations in my personal life, but the job is by far the biggest, and that takes up about nearly a third of my life. So yeah, that is a pretty big chunk. It's been dragging me down emotionally and mentally. The Friday before Christmas, Gina had a night out with some friends, which left me alone to do whatever I wanted. A Friday night to myself almost always means one thing: karaoke. But I wasn't quite feeling it. I didn't want to go alone. I wanted somebody with me. I posted on Facebook my intentions to go caterwauling, just to see if anybody would want to come along. One of my friends did, but asked if I could pick her up. Sure. I went over, I picked her up, but on the way over, she started to get one of her frequent and infamous migraines. So I ended up taking her back home. So there I was, all alone, driving to something that wasn't going to give me any joy if I went on my own. I ended up stopping at Walmart to look for some stocking stuffers for Gina, but nothing felt right. I just wandered around the aisles trying to find something that was worthy of a gift for her, and I couldn't find anything. I left the store, got into my car, gripped the steering wheel, and this heavy feeling of despair just washed over me. For the first time since the foolishness of my youth, a horrible thought slithered into my mind. I genuinely wanted to kill myself. That thought bounced around in my head for a few seconds before it was replaced by another thought. What the hell is wrong with me? Was it the holiday blues getting to me? But this was more than just a holiday depression. This was creepy. Is this a one-time thing? Or is this something that's gonna keep seeping its way into my mind again? Is this how it starts with other people? Is this what Chris Cornell felt before he took his life? How long does it plague anybody before they decide to end it all? Is this common? Are other people feeling this too? How unique is this? Do other people have this creep up on them the same way it did to me? Is there any introspection? Do they catch themselves and question why such a thought finds its way into their mind? Or do they just let it linger? I sat silently for a few moments before I realized I just needed to move. I shook off the despair, but not the confusion. I went home, I cranked up my karaoke playlist, and I sang at the top of my lungs in my house until Gina got home. I think she knew something was off, and I held her especially close that night. I never told her, and I never planned to, unless those thoughts come back. And that's what worries me the most. Is it going to come back? As I get older and less able to fight the banality of life, are those fucking thoughts gonna come back and try to take over? And that's the first weird thing that happened to me recently. That thought came out of nowhere. Maybe it's the culmination of all the time I spent with my work life in a rut. Maybe there are other things that have been irritating me, but work is easily the least enjoyable part of my life. Regardless, that thought came upon me unexpectedly. The next weird thing that happened was my own doing. A couple of weeks after that out-of-the-blue suicide thought, I had an equally unnerving experience. It didn't help I was reading a very bleak and nihilistic story at the time. That's foreshadowing to the next podcast. But I paused for a moment when I was reading, and I tried to imagine what it was like to die. To have a permanent loss of consciousness. I sat at this very desk where I record my podcasts, and I cleared my mind of everything else and just focused on oblivion. I can have a very vivid imagination sometimes. I can get lost in thought, and I often start talking to myself without realizing it. I used to only do it when I was alone, but it happens around Gina sometimes. This time, I got way too deep in the thought. In my attempt to ponder the moment of my death, I felt an emptiness that seemed to wrap itself around me. It was if my mind was being enveloped by liquid shadow, if that makes any sense. For a second, I felt the end of my life, losing consciousness and falling into a void from which I could never return. I felt something cold reach inside my body. I was so terrified, I jumped, nearly knocking things off my desk. I felt a chill on the back of my neck, and for the next couple of moments, my skin crawled. And I realized my heart was racing. I was breathing quickly. And this feeling of emptiness, loneliness, just washed over me. You could possibly imagine the next thought that came to my head. What the fuck was that? I freaked out for a little bit until I got my breathing under control. I have been abnormally concerned about death recently. I think about people I personally knew who passed away suddenly. I think about what I've done so far with my life and what I would like to do. I think about all the things that I've wanted to do, but see them less and less likely of ever happening. I think that every time I get into my car, I could be on my way to my death. When I was in high school, a friend of the family, who was this kind and sweet piano player, dropped dead of a brain aneurysm at the age of 40. Oh, fuck, what if I have an aneurysm growing inside of me, ready to burst and end my life? While I was prepping this podcast, Peter Tork, the bassist of the Monkees, passed away. God rest him. According to a message released by his family, he died after a near 10-year battle from a rare cancer in his salivary glands. Salivary glands? Even that part of your body gets cancer? God damn it! How fucking unfair is that? I wonder what is unknowingly happening in my body, where someday I will find out I have cancer or some other disease. I mean, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, that all runs in my family. I'm basically waiting to find out which time bomb will go off. Thanks, Dad. I don't want to fucking die. It's a sad joke that life puts us all through this. We struggle, we fight, we persevere, we try to build an existence that will give us even a modicum of happiness and serenity. But no matter what our efforts are, we all lose. Your mind is wizened and experienced to deal with life just as the time your body is worst equipped for it. Youth is so fucking wasted on the young. Is this a midlife crisis I'm having? I'm at the right age for it. I mean, I don't want to divorce my wife and buy a sports car and date a woman half my age. Well, maybe date a woman half my age. But I've wanted to do that since I was 42. So, yeah, with the exception of a frustrating job and not having a reliable paramour, I'm fine. I have a wonderful wife who embraces non-traditional marriage with me. We have friends and family who share joy and happiness in our lives. I have interests and hobbies that bring a sense of fulfillment and mental stimulation. I got a good list of things and places I want to experience. Bring it on! Life is a goddamn buffet, and I'm tired of going hungry. Put me on a plane to Australia. I want to see Uluru, and I want to watch the Geelong Cats play. Get us to Europe so Gina and I can visit the lands of our ancestors. But saying all that, yeah, I do grow weary of this world. I don't want my life to end. I have love in my life and desires I wish to experience, but I am tired of all this bullshit. Yeah, my job weighs heavily on me, but it's only proper to earn what I need to create the life I want. Internally, I'm making my way through the hassles, and even though the job is a pain in the ass, at least it gives me income. Externally, though, I see a lot of things that I can't control that affect me and my wife and our lives, whether we like it or not. Maybe to a certain extent, that is depressing me as well. I am tired of the manipulations and attempts at manipulations of my life from the powers and would-be powers that be. I've been doing this for 9 years, viewing the manipulators and schemers as their influence and power grows. Individual liberty and personal responsibility is dying, and the Republicans and Democrats want it to happen. It's not like they even give a shit anymore. Full-on, out-of-the-closet socialists make laws in the United States now because we have been indoctrinated and lulled into the miasma of centralized government for generations. Ignore the people who came to this country to escape those kinds of governments. Forget the lessons of the past, where collectivist ideals tore nations apart and brought mass death to the world. Don't even bother to teach the lessons. Forget the Holocaust. Forget the Holodomor. Forget the Great Leap Forward. No, this time will be different. Instead of quick change, we'll do it slow. Instead of disarming the people, will create fear to the point where the masses will demand private gun ownership be decimated today with the long-term game of elimination. Instead of overtly rounding up the scapegoats we blame for the problems of the nation, we'll use the media to turn the rest of the population against them until the scapegoats give themselves up willingly, or at least give up their life's work in the forms of higher taxes. Instead of pulling people from their home to force them to work in our great government projects, we'll pass so much regulation that the underskilled won't have any job opportunities, so they'll have no choice but to take our offer of collective dependence. I don't expect the next Hitler or Stalin or Chairman Mao to stand before the nation anytime soon, giving us his or her State of the Union address. A generation or two from now might be a different story. We are already a national socialist nation. We have been nudged in that direction for the past century. We're already at that point. We are becoming a full-on socialist nation. The heralds are already here. It has happened, and it will continue to happen little by little. It doesn't matter if the Republicans or the Democrats are in control. The erosion of individual liberty and personal responsibility will continue, and we will be trapped in their collectivist control. The wall along our southern border will, at best, be infinitesimally more effective than the myriad drug laws have been at stopping marijuana use. It will give a bunch of right-wingers a false sense of accomplishment. It will set a horrible precedent for the presidential use of a declaration of a national emergency. It will give the government an excuse to seize private property under eminent domain. In other words, it will erode rights and make it easier for political opponents to exact revenge and erode more rights. One side points out what they consider to be a problem. They don't actually do a single fucking thing to solve the cause of the problem. Rather, they do the equivalent of placing a piece of scotch tape over a leaking water main. They come up with a worthless solution, but because they represent a political party, their constituents and sycophants blindly buy into it. For those who don't buy into it, the politicians turn it into an issue of morality and demonize anybody who disagrees. Finally, they force it on everyone, even though half the people hate it. Each time, personal liberty is violated. Each time, government control grows. Border walls, Obamacare, the Patriot Act, the New Deal, constant wars without constitutional authorization, it's never going to end. Each time, it divides and angers the American people. That divisiveness and resentment in the political world has spewed into social issues. The same people who tell us we should be free are the ones who want to take away our freedom in the name of their morality. The same people who tell us we should love one another are the ones who hate anybody who doesn't conform to their morality. The same people who tell us that we should coexist are the ones who ostracize you if you dare to believe something different from them. And people like me, we're just over here trying to figure out what the fuck is going on, even though it's probably already too late. As this eeriness of existence and unwanted thoughts of death have plagued me over the past few months, and I consider the eventual death of liberty at the hands of the collectivists, I'm reminded of a quote from Ayn Rand. There is no difference between communism and socialism, except in the means of achieving the same ultimate end. Communism proposes to enslave men by force, socialism by vote. It is merely the difference between murder and suicide. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.